the book of Lamentations, and we're at the third chapter. And Jeremiah the prophet is the writer of this mighty book of Lamentations. And the way down this third chapter, at verse 22, Jeremiah is proclaiming, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed." This is Jeremiah proclaiming this concerning Israel, the people of God. And he's saying it out loud and is not mincing his words. He's saying it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. And I think that every child of God and every company of the children of God, in every dispensation, everywhere, I think all of them can proclaim the same thing. I think that if God should mark iniquities, who would stand? That goes for all of us this morning. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. I believe if Adam left Eden's garden, and I think it was in the evening, it was in the cool of the day that God came. I think as God put the man and the woman out of the garden, and set the cherubims with the flaming sword that turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life, as Adam dodged along fearfully in the glare of this glittering sword, I think he must have said to Eve, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed." And I'm positively sure that as Cain dodged his way into the land of Nod, condemned murderer, I think again and again this must have crossed his mind. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. And I think as Noah and the family with him in the ark drifted away on the waters of the judgment of God, I think he must have said to the crowd on one or two occasions, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed." I'm sure when Abraham told lies, some of God's children tell lies. And when he caused Sarah to tell lies, and the worldling, the Egyptian, found them out telling lies, I'm sure he must have said in the shadows, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed." You can go right through the Bible, old Jacob, as he planned and plotted in his own carnal understanding, leaning on his own carnal understanding. There were times when, like the night he slept with a stone for his pillow, he must have said, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed." And when Israel murmured against the leader that God had sent them, and murmur they did, I'm sure that when some of them were swallowed up, because God does come in judgment sometimes, I'm sure the rest of them said, "It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed." And when the priesthood stood by and saw Nadab and Abihu burned to a cinder, and God burned them, I'm sure that the rest of the priests must have quaked, said, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed." And I'm perfectly sure as Jonah lay in the belly of the fish, he must have known how near he was to being consumed. And as Thomas stubbornly refused to believe, and Peter followed afar off, and the Ephesians lost their first love, and the Laodiceans crushed the Lord out of the place, I'm sure they must have realized. I think that God's people everywhere, in every dispensation, had to come to this confession. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. But look how Jeremiah goes on with this. We're at chapter 3 of Lamentations, and we're at verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. That's the only reason for us being together this morning. Because his compassions fail not. See this word compassions here? And this word compassion right through the Old Testament? It's an old Hebrew word, and it's actually translated maybe 50 or 60 times by the word pity. Yes, like as our Father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. And it's just because of the pity and compassion of the Lord that some of us are not burned into a cinder. That's all. You see, this compassion has been ever there. The Lord looked sternly at Peter when he denied him with oaths and curses. And yet in pity he spared him. And it goes on and on right through the Old Testament. You'll find this out, that Jeremiah goes on like this. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. You know, this is a mighty statement, isn't it? It's trying to get across to the people of God. You know, we're to blame in a thousand ways. And it's only been the pity and the compassion of God that's put up with us. And his mercies and his compassion and his pity have been new every morning. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, his hand has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. You see, as morning by morning breaks, there are new mercies for us. What a God we have. What a wonderful God. You can see Jacob planning, and because of his plans, because they were so carnal and corrupt, you remember that Esau was going to take his life. And Jacob had to flee because of his sin. And you remember when he lay down that night with the stone for his pillow? You remember that God came in the middle of the night, and God said to him, "Behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." And you know, as the morning dawned that morning, he could see the mercy of God. You remember Samson got away from God, and the enemy overthrew him, and the terrible things that happened. But new mercies came one morning. His hair began to grow again. I want you to get the hold of this. Here is Jeremiah, and he's proclaiming to all and sundry, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. And then he lifts his heart and looks into the heavens and looks into the face of God. And he cries from the very depths of his moved soul, great is thy faithfulness. Now that's the text for this morning. The preface is over. I want to talk to you about the greatness of the faithfulness of God. Mind you, when you get down to study the greatness of the faithfulness of God, it's something that's almost beyond our understanding. When you talk about the love of God, you can neither measure its height, nor depth, nor length, nor breadth. And when you begin to talk about the grace of God, grace that saves, and grace that puts up with us, and grace that helps us, grace that will take us all the road, and when there's no road and we're in eternity, in the ages to come, God will show the exceeding riches of His grace, the grace that brought us from the depths of despair to the heights of glory and set us among princes you can't thought of measuring. While you can't measure the love of God nor the grace of God, neither can you measure the faithfulness of God to us. You can't measure it. You see, God's great faithfulness, it's so great that God hath never in any transaction to any one of His millions of children at any time throughout the whole dispensations acted for a moment unfaithfully. I want you to get that. You take the millions and millions and millions of children God has had right down through every dispensation, and you've got millions and millions and millions of children, all kinds and classes and creeds. Some of them good and some of them no good. And yet God has never acted once unfaithful towards one of us. Never once. It's so great that God hath never in any transaction to any one of the countless millions of children down through the dispensations acted for a moment in unfaithfulness. You see, every saint in the family knows this. And every one of us could get down low this morning and bow our heads and say from our hearts, great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. And not only every child in the family, but every sheep in the flock. You see, if you were taking up the 23rd Psalm now and expounding it properly, you would see the greatness of the faithfulness of our wonderful shepherd. You see, He not only looks after me in life, makes me to lie down in green pastures, leads me beside the still waters. Not only does He anoint my head with oil, not only does my cup run over, not only does He lead me in the paths of righteousness. Oh, He looks after me in life. But if I must needs go through the valley of the shadow of death, He will look after me in death. Yes, but what's better still, not only in life and in death, but He will look after me in eternity. He's got a place prepared, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And every child in the family, and every sheep in the flock, and every soldier in the fight, you know, it doesn't make a matter what way the enemy wriggles. Yes, every soldier in the fight, you know, can say, great is thy faithfulness. Oh, how the Lord has brought us through storms and tests. When you think of Paul talking about his sufferings, a day and a night in the deep, and beaten with rods and beaten with stripes, yea, cursed by false brethren and all the rest of it, and it goes on and on and on down through the years. Yes, the Lord is faithful. You see, I want you to see the greatness of the faithfulness of God to all his children. And I want you to see this, that the greatness of God is not seen only in being faithful to the countless millions of his children in every transaction under the burning sun in the sands of time. I want you to see that God has been faithful and the greatness of his faithfulness to all his promises to the children of God. Oh, I tell you, just to gather up a few of the promises. Once upon a time I tried to make a checkbook of the promises of God, made it out for myself, sort of style. And you know, you can see this on the first page. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And the check is good, you know. And every one of you, somewhere, sometime, you know, you'll be made to pass through the waters. But there's a check here. I will be with thee. And when I turn the page over, here's another check. He has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. And it's true. Even when the darkness deepens, even when the lion roars, even when the boat is filled with water, even if my poor timid heart is touched by fear, somewhere in the shadows, I can find him, and I know he's there. I can turn at this moment and clasp his hand. Oh, yes, he'll be true to the promise. You know, it says in this book, this is a check for me. My God shall supply all your needs. I'm not looking to Sir Geoffrey or the Baptist Union or the Baptist Church either. Let me get that into your head this morning. My trust is still in Jesus. He said, I'll supply your need. I'm banking on that check. I'll take that to the bank of heaven any day. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ. That's where it is. And he'll be true to that. And he'll stand by it all the days of his life. Oh, this is a great checkbook. It says in this checkbook, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Ah, yes, it's not the length of days, you know. It's as the kind of days. It doesn't make a matter what kind of day tomorrow might be. Or the next day, or the next one, or the next year might be. Yeah, there'll be strength for that day. My dear, look at all these checks. When thou passest through the waters, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. My God shall supply as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Underneath are those everlasting arms, and you can't sink any deeper than that, can you? My, you're in a hammock then, and it won't let you down. I want you to get the hold of this. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. That's a promise. He'll look after that. Looks at you and takes your hand and squeezes it tight, and he says, you know, you're of more value than many sparrows. That will do me, won't it? You see, the greatness of the faithfulness of God is seen in his faithfulness to all his children, in the family, in the flock, in the fight. The faithfulness and the greatness of the faithfulness is seen in all the promises. And then I want you to get this, you know, the faithfulness of God and the greatness of the faithfulness of God is seen that in spite of the sin of man, or the sin of any man, my dear friend, the sin of man cannot make him unfaithful. And even if the sin is in yourself, if you won't believe, then he remains faithful. He can't deny himself. I want you to see that. Oh, how great is this faithfulness. Touches every child of God, you know. It touches every promise in the book. It touches... Nothing can upset it or disturb it or alter it. The sin of man can't do it. No way. And then I want you to get this bit, because this is very important. No possible exigency in life can disturb it in any way. You see, when we come over to 1 Corinthians, let me read this to you. It says this. It says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. You know, every one of us is tested, just like men have always been tested. Some of us are tested by the love of money. Some of us are tested by this sin and that sin and the other sin. And there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. That's what it says here. Who will not suffer you to be tested above that ye are able. God knows the breadth of your shoulders, you know, and how much you can take and how much he's going to allow you to take. And will, with the testing, make a way of escape. Oh, he's faithful, you know. No exigency in life can possibly compel God to be unfaithful. You know, when you think that God hath given commands to the angels to look after us, you know, the angels are ministering spirits sent to minister to them who are the heirs of salvation. God meant to be faithful when he sent the angels. Angels look after you. I really believe that the angels looked after me before I was even saved. Positively sure of that. You know, I can remember once being stupid drunk and walking onto the ice where people were skating, and everybody shouted at me, and I'm so stupid I walked on and on and on and out onto where it was just thin, and then crack, and down you go. And it was 20 feet deep, maybe 25. And I can feel the bottom of the sea, you know, and grab the weeds, and I'm drunk. Ah, but I came up through the hole that I made. And that's almost impossible. And I grab the ice, and it breaks, and I grab again, and it breaks, and I grab again, and it holds on. Oh, it wasn't anything in a drunk man that did that. God looked after me. He's been faithful. He sent the angels. I want you to see this. The God that sent the Holy Ghost to indwell us, meant to be faithful. The Comforter has come. He's with me. When I leave with a day or two, he'll be with me. Don't worry yourself. I want you to get this. His appearance to Mary at the tomb in the dark when she was crying, burdened, lets us see the greatness of the faithfulness of God. His assurance to Paul. He came to Paul in the middle of the night. He said, fear not, stand up and speak. No man shall set on me to hurt you. I'll look after you. Ah, yes. His appearance to Mary, his assurance to Paul, his deliverance of Daniel. Oh, drop him into the lion's den, and I can't touch him. Oh, not a bit of it. I want you to get the whole of this. Friends, let's get this morning. Just bow your head and say, it's of the Lord's mercies the whole bunch of us is not consumed. Of that. And it's just because of his compassion and because of his pity. Yes. Don't we know that his mercies are new every morning? Yes, all these things are true. Let's look up this morning. Let's look into the face of the Lord. Let my whole assembly look into the face of the Lord. Individually and collectively, let's look into the face of the Lord. And let's say, great is thy faithfulness. Oh, the greatness of the faithfulness, the greatness we can't measure. To every saint in every dispensation, millions of them, he's never been unfaithful to one of them. Take all the promises in the book. Oh, he's faithful. Blessedly faithful. Yes, no sin of man can compel him to act in unfaithfulness. Not a bit. Why? The very fact that he sent the angels. The very fact that he sent the Holy Ghost. The very fact that he came to Mary. The very fact that he came to Paul. The very fact that he came to Daniel and delivered him. All the promises to Jacob. And the provision for Elijah. All tell us about the faithfulness of God. Let's get the text and take it home with us. Let's look God full in the face. Until everything else grows dim. Let this ring in your soul all week. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord.